presence of God is here today. And I have a word to speak. And I'm asking God to help me speak it. Amen. And if we will be receptive, amen, I believe God has a word for us today. If we could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, this was a message that I preached, and according to the date that I preached it was 7 years ago. But it seemed fitting today for this message. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." Why don't you repeat with me? "The things that are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal." If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, oh God, that you edify what I have to say. Lord, that it will bless, that it will find good soil. We thank you right now, Jesus. We lift up your name and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone, give them a high five and say, "I'm glad I'm here." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. And I called this message, "What Are You Looking At?" What are you looking at? Because where we're looking is where we're going to be going. And so it's very important to focus on the right thing. And this verse is very amazing. It says, "For we faint not, though our outward man perish." Do you feel like your outward man is perishing sometimes? Does it feel like you just can't do anymore, that you're about to give up? But, you know, he said, listen, don't give up. "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The only way the inward man is going to be renewed is if we stay in the Word, if we are getting something fed into our souls. That's why I hope you are here today, to hear something that is going to feed your inner man, because the outward man is perishing. This world, Satan will come against you with all kinds of storms, with all kinds of disasters, with all kinds of negativity, with all kinds of things to steal your joy, to make you want to quit, to make you give up. And although this outward man is perishing, the inward man, Paul says, is renewed day by day. Because he says, "But for our light affliction," sometimes it doesn't seem light, sometimes it seems pretty heavy, but he describes it here as "our light affliction worketh," hallelujah, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Those things cannot be seen by the naked eyes. He says, while we look not at things that are seen. The most depressing thing is when you look at a mess, when you're looking at disaster, when you're looking at the things that are dragging you down. If we focus on those things, we will never make it. It will just get us down even more. What he's saying here is that you have to look at something. You have to set your focus on something that you can't see. It's the things that are you can't see, he says, that are eternal, that are going to work a more eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, for the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Anything you can see has a beginning. Anything that has a beginning is going to end. That's why God does never change, because he doesn't have a beginning. I'm trying to tell you something, that we're looking at the wrong things. What are you focusing on? What are you looking on today? If you're looking at your problems, you know that will only depress you. Because the Bible says we have to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If I look at all the things that I'm dealing with, it would depress me. If I look at when I can retire, I still have some years to go, that would depress me. But I'm not looking that far ahead. I'm looking at day by day, because I'm looking at the Word, which is a lamp unto my feet, hallelujah, that will light my way. If I'm thinking about, man, I got some more years before I can quit this job, I would get depressed, amen. I would get down. If I start to look at all the things I have to deal with, I would get down and depressed. You cannot drive a car looking in the mirror backwards. You have to look forwards. It's no use looking at the past, because there's nothing you can do about that. You know what the Bible says about our sins? He's cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. God doesn't look backwards. He only looks forward. That's why he tells us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. While we keep looking at the things that are real, they are real, no doubt they are real, but they're not eternal. That's what the scripture says. Aren't you glad your problems are not eternal? They are going to pass. They are going to pass. I was talking to Sister Stephanie, and she's waiting and waiting and waiting. And all you women that have had children, that last 3 weeks gets so long, right? You can't sleep on your tummy, and you're just uncomfortable, and the baby is kicking, and you're wondering, when is this going to happen? But you know, it's going to pass. The 40 weeks will soon be up. There will come a day when your tummy is back down, Sister Stephanie, and you'll have a little baby in your hand. Amen. You see, we don't look at the things that can be seen, but the things that are not seen. Amen. You can't really see that little baby right now, but probably in another few weeks, you'll have that little child in your hand. You see, it's just like having a baby. The Bible says in Romans that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption and the revelation of the children of God. We're going through some travail right now. I don't know about you, I'm going through some travail right now. There's some birth pangs that hurt. There's some things that we have to deal with that put us in pain. But he says it's light affliction. You see, the only way you can look at it as light affliction is because you're thinking about the little baby. You're thinking about what comes after the birth. We are groaning and travailing in pain, but there is a birthday. Hallelujah. There is a day when that little baby gives a cry, and you know that the pain is over. You know that the suffering is over. I'm telling you to just hold on a little bit more. Do not give up. Hallelujah. Because don't look at the pain. Don't look at your stomach, so to speak, because you're going through it right now. But there's coming a day when the baby will be born. Hallelujah. You see, the outer man is perishing. There's no doubt about that. Satan will come into your life and bring all kinds of mess and storms to come and take away your joy. I don't think there's one person in here who could lift up their hands and say they're not experiencing some things right now. Amen. If you are, you're swimming the wrong way. Because the Bible says, in this life, we shall have tribulation. Amen. It's only if you're going Satan's direction, if you're going with the flow, you're not going to have much tribulation. But if you're fighting the fight, it's just that. It's a fight. You know, don't surprise you if the devil is the devil. He's got to be the devil. He's got to stir up trouble. And he has certainly tried to bring a storm. You know that storm that was on the Sea of Galilee? I don't think it was natural. I don't think it was just an ordinary storm, because when Jesus got up, he didn't just say, "Peace, be still." The Bible said he rebuked it. Sometimes you have to speak to your storm and rebuke it. You have to stop looking at the disaster that's happening and look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul says here, listen, stop looking at the things which are temporal. You have to look at the, he makes a statement that is so bizarre, so profound. He says, look at the invisible. Amen. It's time for us to look at the invisible. You're going to say, well, Pastor, how can I look at the unseen? How can I look at the invisible? You can only do it through eyes of faith. That's when you have to hang on to your faith and you have to bury your anchor deep and you have to start to look onto the invisible things that cannot be seen, because it is the invisible things that are eternal. God's love is eternal. His word is eternal. His faith is eternal. And that's what we have to have our anchor on. Hallelujah. You see, looking at with our eyes, one of the most greatest creations of God. I mean, when you think about the things that your eye is actually doing that no television set yet can quite do. They're getting up to 4K. They started out with high def, 1024 by whatever. That wasn't good enough. After a while, they came up with 4K, and now they're coming up with 8K. They still, with all of this, and you look at the brilliant colors, they have not gotten to what the eye can do. Isn't that amazing? But even with what this natural eye can see, there is something beyond that that is even more and greater. And that is when we look at our situation through eyes of faith. You look at it with the natural eyes, what you're facing, you will give up. You will be in doubt. You will want to just throw it all away. But God is telling us, don't look at those things. Those are temporal. They will pass. They will pass. That baby will come. I guarantee you in a month, Sister Stephanie, you'll be holding a little baby. That 40 weeks will come to an end soon. Amen. There will be a day when you can sleep on your tummy again. Amen. As men, we don't understand that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so merciful. Right, Brother Tim? All you men out there, you understand that? Amen. He's given it to the women. You know that women can stand more pain than men. They say if men gave birth, there'd be a lot less people in the world. Amen. Amen. But what are we looking at today? If you're looking at your issue and your problem, you will be depressed. Jesus did not look so much at the cross. The Bible said he looked beyond the cross, who for the joy, amen, he endured the cross. You see, when you have a joy because you have an expectation, because you're looking at something else, you can endure what you're going through because you know it's got an end. You know it's got an end date stamped on it. You know everything they sell in the store, you know what they put on it somewhere on that package? There's an expiration date. Now, my wife doesn't like to throw away much. And when my children come to the house now, they have a habit of going in the fridge and looking at everything, and they start throwing stuff away. You know, the reason is because we don't eat certain stuff. It just stays there, and it may have a day. 2017. What I'm trying to say is your issue, your problem has an expiration date. You know what you need to do? You need to go in your fridge of life and start to throw some of these things out. Hey, this is expired. I don't need this in my life anymore. I'm throwing this away. You need to go through and check some dates, because the Bible tells me that everything that it can be seen is temporal. It's got an expiration date. You just have to endure it. You just have to get through it. And all you have to do is remain your eyes fixed on Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says who for the joy endured the cross. The cross is not fun. There's no buttering that up. That's painful. Being whipped, being nailed, there's no getting through that. But you can get through it if you're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the completer, the rounder outer of your faith. The one who can take you through, the one who can lift you up, the one who can give you faith, the one who can give you strength, the one who will take you through. I'm telling you, I'm probably the most, or nearly the most optimistic person out. You know why? And that's all due to my mother. She always kept on telling me, you can do it with Christ. She just drilled that into me that I believe no matter how dire the situation, no matter how terrible the situation, I have hope. You have hope. The Bible says, if in this life alone you had hope, you would be of all men most miserable. If this was all there was, yes, we could be sad, we could be depressed, but this is not all there is. There is coming an expiration date to your problem. There is coming a day when you can go in that spiritual fridge and throw that milk out, that old sour milk that's making you sick. You can take out that soup you had in there from 2 months ago, throw it out. Don't let it get moldy anymore. It's got an expiration date. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting. There is a waiting in giving birth. There is a waiting to the joy that comes with actually seeing that baby. And if you don't give up, amen. I'm thinking about the four births that I witnessed. And I know, again, because we're men, we don't have to go through that. And of course, when you're in there, you feel pretty helpless and full of blame. You had something to do with this somehow. Amen. And I remember my wife wanting to, and I hope she won't get mad at me now, she wanted to get up and walk away, as if that would stop the... she wanted to get out the bed and walk away, like she could leave the childbirth there on the bed, you know, and not take it with her. But you know what? She had to endure it. She had to endure it. Amen. And she's the one that tells me now, which of them would you give back? Which of them would you give back? And the truth is, none of them. You see, God loves you. He doesn't want to give you back. He doesn't want to give you away. He died to redeem you. He died to save you. And it pains him to see us in pain. But a lot of time it's because we haven't gone through our fridge and started to clean it out. Throw away that stuff with an expiration date. Because the Bible says if you can see it, it's temporary. Paul says it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, you got to stop looking at the negative. You got to stop looking at the issues. That don't mean you ignore it, but you're looking at it knowing it's going to go. I can get through this. I can pass this. Now, many, many years ago, when I was about as same size as I was, I decided, I think it was about 1991, I was going to start running. And at first it was so hard. It was so hard to go out and run. And I remember my children following me around. And the first half mile was so hard. The second time there was a little bit less, but it was still so hard. And it took me months. But eventually I lost like about 35, 40 pounds just running. You may say, where did that go to? Well, one of these days I'm looking to have that happen again. See, we have to be determined. I wasn't looking at the pain of the running. I was thinking about what the result would be. If you want to get through your issue, you have to think about what it's going to look like. When you see Jesus, when you know that you have made it, when this life is finished, all these issues are done, and you are able to stand in the throne room, and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Can your brain start to focus on what it will be to see Jesus? When you hear your name called, when that trumpet blows, and you know that the struggle is over. See, you can't see that now. You have to see that by faith. Hallelujah. We can't see that with our natural eye. That's what's eternal. What you can see is all the issues that you got to get up tomorrow morning, go and clock a work job tomorrow. You got to deal with people. Amen. Some of them full of demons, no doubt. Amen. But you cannot focus on that. You've got to have some joy today, because that's the only way to endure the cross. You're going to have to find some joy. How can I find joy? I preached that message a couple weeks ago. They said, how can we sing when we're in captivity? They demand of us a song. But I tell you, that's when you have to praise God. When you don't feel like it, when you're at your worst, because Satan wants you to focus on all the negative, because he wants you to be depressed. He wants to take away your joy. He wants to kill your spirit. Amen. You see, David knew how to do this. There's some psalms that you read and he sounds very depressed. But he's working his way out. That's what he's doing. He's starting to sing. That's the first thing. Even if it was a dirge, even if it was a funeral song, even if it was Abide With Me, he's starting to sing. That's the first step. And then you get into some of the Psalms and he's starting to get a little bit brighter. He starts to get to Psalms 23. Then he gets to Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength of my life. That's what we have to do, is to stop looking at the negative things. Because that's what Satan wants. I'm going to praise him no matter what the situation. Hallelujah. I'm going to thank him because I'm here. I'm able to open my voice. I'm able to sing praises unto God. Psalms 31 verse 9 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." Here's one of his times when he was crying out to God, but he was still making a song, because all of these psalms were sung. But it was a song of deliverance, asking God for help. And he wasn't finished. You keep on going, and by the time you get to Psalms 139, he's saying, "Listen, I know that you will have mercy." Hallelujah. "For his mercy endureth forever." Amen. You see, what we have to do right now is stop looking at the things that are temporal. We need to go in our spiritual fridge, start to throw out all these expiration date things. Don't drink it, because it will give you a bad stomach. Amen. Why I'm saying this is that when I came back this week, I started drinking some milk, and it started to taste a bit funny, and I checked the date and it looked a bit funny, and I thought, you know what, I need to throw this away. You don't have to drink the old stale stuff that's in your fridge. You don't have to drag that stuff back up into your life, into your mind. You need to throw it away. If you can see it, it's only temporal. If you can see it, it's going to pass. Hallelujah. You see, what we have to do is start to look on the things that are invisible. Now, that makes no sense. How can I see something that I can't see? Well, you see it by faith, by starting to believe that God is going to bring you through, that he's going to lift you up. He says in Psalms 3 that he is the lifter up of my head. David knew about being down. David knew about being sad. David knew about people trying to kill him. But somehow he was always able to sing a song. Amen. He was always able to look beyond his present situation. I am not going to look at how things are right now. I'm looking at the victory. I'm looking at not the cross, but at the resurrection. That's what I'm looking at. If I can endure this little bit of cross here, this light affliction, there's coming a resurrection. There's coming a day when, as in Luke, it said the devil left him for a season. There's going to be a time when he gives up. He'll be tired of trying to beat you up. You know why? Because he's seeing it's not working. Because you're not looking at him. See, he wants you to look at him and get afraid and be negative. Hallelujah. To take it into your situation. Hallelujah. But God is telling us, look unto Jesus. Peter understood that when he got out the boat. The storm was all around, but at first he was looking only at Jesus. When you look at Jesus, he blinds you to all the other trouble. When you're looking at Jesus, you won't see the storm. It's not that the storm's not there, but you're looking at your deliverer. He is the source. He is the one that upholds. He is the one that you can plant your feet on, because he says he is the rock. But then Peter, of course, started to look at the storm and said, "This is impossible. I can't do this. How can I make it?" And that's when he began to sink. The Bible is telling us, look at the things that are unseen. You're saying, "What? How can I see things that I can't see?" Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, you can do it. It's by faith. It's believing that somehow, some way, God is going to deliver you out of your circumstance. Do you believe that today? Do I have a witness that God is a deliverer? Do I have a witness that God can take you through? Stop thinking about the cross and start thinking about the resurrection. Mary Magdalene ran to the tomb. She came to the tomb thinking, "Well, I'll at least find his body." But you know what? The Bible said that the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out. He was already gone. No stone could have holded him. But the stone was rolled away to let her see something that was not there. Think about that. She came looking to see a body, but what she saw was nothing. What she saw, I'm telling you, you start to look at the things that are invisible. Shall I tell you something that's invisible? God's love for you. You can't see it, but I'm telling you, you can feel it. You can know it by what he has done. Shall I tell you something else that's invisible? Hope. You can't see that either, but you can have it by faith. The Bible says a hope that maketh not ashamed. I tell you, God has never let me down. Never, ever let me down. I have failed him, but he has never failed me. Amen. That's why I have hope. No matter how whatever situation is, I still have hope. I can't see it. I don't know how I'm going to get out, but I'm not going to look at my cross. I'm going to look at my resurrection. That's what I'm going to look at. Because he said when he arose from the grave, I have the keys of hell and the grave. If he has the keys and he says, all power is given unto me, then that's the one I need to look at. That's who I need to look at. The one who has the keys. And he says, I open a door and no man shutteth. That's who I need to be looking at. Not the one who's lying to me, who's telling me you're hopeless and no good and useless. I'm looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the one that started my book, and he can write a happy ending. He can say, and they lived happily ever after. And he's the only one that can actually write that and make it happen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 9, verse 10, Jesus was talking about sight. And he said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. And that they which see might be made blind. Isn't that a strange thing to say? That's in John chapter 9, verse 39. For judgment am I come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. You see, when we think we're looking at truth and not at Jesus, we're actually blind. It's only through looking at Jesus do we really have true sight of our situation. When we look through his eyes, it's a whole different matter. The servant of Elisha saw that they were surrounded. He was looking with natural eyes at his situation. And it looked hopeless. A whole army of the Syrians had come just for two people. It was a hopeless situation. But the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. God needs to open our eyes so that we see that we are not alone. Because he has promised never to leave us. Right now in this church that you can't even see. There are angels seated around you. I absolutely believe that. And I know that. Most of us would jump up and run out of here if we could see what was going on around us. If we could see the spiritual warfare that's being fought over your soul, you'd be in prayer so much more. You'd be in fasting so much more. You'd be acknowledging God. You'd be walking closer to him because your soul is in the balance. You know why? Because you're looking at the wrong things. If you will start to look unto Jesus, you will blind Satan. He can't touch you. It's not that there was no storm around Peter, but as long as he kept looking at the source, as long as he kept looking at the one who created everything he was walking on, he could walk on water. God can take you through the crucifixion because he said, I have the power to lay down my life and take it back up again. And the Bible says, if that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies, that will quicken you. It's going to make you alive. And so even if you are going through a death situation, God can bring it back to life. He can give you hope when the doctor says, sorry, there's nothing more we can do. He can give you hope when the job says, we're sorry, here's your pink slip. Amen. Right, Brother Chris? Amen. I had a taste of that last year too, amen? But you know what? I went through that cross, amen? And I'm looking at the resurrection. I'm looking at the resurrection, hallelujah. You see, we're only blind when we think we can see. When we start to lean to our own understanding, when we look at the facts and say, okay, this is how we fix it. Instead of just giving it to God. Because every blessing can only be multiplied through the source. It was only when the little boy gave everything to Jesus could it be multiplied, could it be distributed, could the blessing expand. But when we try and work it out ourselves, when we lean to our own understanding, and I know this may sound like it's the same message every week, but maybe that's what we need. Amen. That maybe that's what we need. We have got to start looking to the eye opener, the one who can open blind eyes. Maybe we need some more mud. Maybe our faith is weak. There were certain people he could just speak to, and they said, you know, you don't have to come to our house. Just speak the word. But there was this one man, he needed some mud. God had to keep on putting mud to his eyes for him to see. And I'm telling you, the word today may be your mud. You need to stop looking at your cross and start thinking about your resurrection. Because there is coming a day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Amen. With the trump of God. That's what I'm looking for. That's my real deliverance. I'm not looking for jobs safety or truly my retirement. My flesh is tired, but that's not my true retirement. My true 401k is in heaven, where moth nor rust, nothing can get to that. It does not depreciate. It only goes up. Amen. It's not subject to the stock market. It's not subject to Congress. Amen. Because wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Hallelujah. See, Satan wants to blind you to Jesus. He will put a spotlight of trouble in your face. He will put a spotlight of trouble to make you only look at your problems. And if you stay there staring at it, you know what happens when you stare at a bright light? You become blind. You can't see anything. Your judgment will go off. You'll start to get even worse. But if you will shut your eyes to what Satan is seeing and see by the Spirit what God wants you to see, I'm telling you, deliverance is on the way. Deliverance is on the way. Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he started to feel the storm. He was afraid. Yes, we're going to get afraid sometimes. It's going to seem like we're about to drown. It's going to seem like Satan has got us. But keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. You know, he cried out, Lord, save me. God was so merciful. He rose out and he just picked him up. We need to start looking at some new things. Start to focus on God's grace and mercy. Start to think of how he helped you kill the bear and the lion. You can get through this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elisha prayed and said, open his eyes. And when his servants started to see around him, he saw that the army of the Assyrians was nothing. Nothing. The whole hillside was covered with the armies of God. And just to show you how God reverses things, blindness got to those people. They were the ones ending up having to be led. The army that came to get them was struck with blindness. I'm telling you, we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. We need to have some faith and ask God to open our eyes. Let us see beyond what we're looking at right now. Because if we just look at what we're looking at, the temporal things, we will be down. We will be depressed. But I'm telling you, there's a resurrection day coming. When she went into the tomb, what did she see, Mary Magdalene? Nothing. See, she was looking at something that was now invisible. Looking unto the invisible things which are eternal. Yeah. Amen. When we start to look at the visible things that are in our lives, maybe it's family situation, maybe you're going through a financial hardship, maybe it's a sickness, we don't understand sometimes. We don't have to understand. What we have to do is trust in God, because he has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 11 verse 3 explains to us something very profound about the word of God. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith, see, you can't see it, we understand that the worlds, the whole universe, was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen now actually were made by things that you can't see. Everything you see came from the word of God saying, let there be. And I've said so many times, when God says, let there be, the answer is? Amen. We need to remember that. When God says, let there be, the answer is, and it was so. We need to get to the place where we are looking at the invisible things of God, which is his word, his love, hallelujah, his caring for us, the hope that he gives us, his death at Calvary, his resurrection. You can't see those things 2,000 years later, but I'm telling you, those are the things the Bible tells us are eternal. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, the whole universe, was framed by the word of God. You can't see it, but you can feel it. You can experience it today. You can experience the word of God. Whatever you are going through right now, there is a word from God. You can't see it with your eyes, but if you will look at it in faith, it is eternal. You can stand upon it. The Bible says that thy word is forever. Jesus said that not one word, nor one little Hebrew yod or tittle, will pass away until everything be fulfilled. Heaven and earth, the things you can now see, your present problems, your situation, will pass away. It's been stamped with an expiration date. Did you know that? You need to go into your fridge and start throwing out all this stuff. Clean out the old stuff. Don't drink it. Don't cook with it. Don't use it. It'll kill you. It's got an expiration date. It's the invisible things that are eternal. Your cross is temporary. In Jesus' case, he was on the cross 6 hours. And I can imagine when it came to the time of the evening sacrifice and he knew it was finished, there was a certain joy. The Bible said, who endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. The joy. What was the joy? It was seeing you, seeing me saved. As I said in Sunday school, in Deuteronomy, Moses gave all these curses that would happen to Israel under the law. It's a long list. And under the law, that's what happened to them. But in the new covenant, in the New Testament, the Bible said he became a curse for us. If he became a curse for us, what does that leave? Only the blessings. If he took that list of curses for us, all that's left is the blessings. You know, one of the blessings is the resurrection. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, that he is going to come back in like manner. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye around ye gazing? They were looking at the wrong thing. Weren't they? They were just looking like this, like caught deer in headlights. Why are you looking at the wrong thing? Don't you know that this same Jesus, not a different one, the same one, shall come again in exactly like manner? What are you looking for? I'm looking for the same Jesus to come again in like manner. I tell you what, he is my answer to every single problem I have. He is my answer to my bills, to my sickness, to my children, to my family situation, to my depression, to my despair. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing and looking at the sky? This same Jesus, not a different one, the same one, he's going to come again in like manner. And when he comes, when his feet touch that mountain, everything's going to be different. Everything is going to be different. The whole creation, Romans 8:20 says, groaneth and travaileth in pain. There will come a day of happiness. There will come a day of joy. There will come a day of redemption. We're just going through the birth pangs right now. But Paul understood that you can't look at that. You can't focus on that. You got to think of something else. And I've repeated myself so many times because I want you to get it. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This altar is open. We're going to close this service, but not close God's presence. He wants you to know something. The Spirit really, really wants you to know something today. Look unto me. Jesus told someone that. He said, look at me. James and John, when they went to the lame man at the temple, he had his head down. He just wanted some money because that's all he thought he could get. He didn't realize he could get more than just some money. You know what they told him? Stop looking at the ground. Look on us. They said, look at us. Look at us. And when they looked, silver and gold we don't have, But such as we have, we give unto you. He got a lot more than money. He got a lot more than anything else. What he got was deliverance. God can restore what the cankerworm and the devil has taken away. He can restore the joy of your salvation. But we have to look at him, because that's where our only hope comes from. We can't look at anything else. Can't look at pastor. I don't have the answers. But I do have the word. And the word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I firmly, firmly, firmly believe today that this is what God wants us to hear. He's saying, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Didn't he say, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, isn't that what he said? If I be lifted up, I will draw all. You know what that meant? I'm going to draw all your judgment. I'm going to draw all your pain. I'm going to draw all your sickness. Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so whoever looked at the object of their sin, of the object of their curse, was delivered. The Bible applies that to Jesus. When we look unto Jesus, who took the curse for us, when we do that, we can be delivered. I'm closing this service. If you want prayer, if you come down to the front, I have no special power, but the Holy Ghost is all powerful. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to pray that you will look unto Jesus, and that he will take you through the crucifixion, and you will see the resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, if you could stand and if you could pray with me as we close this service.